And this is Harry the Y, coming to you on CoastsideBuzz.com. Now, most of you are used to hearing me playing music or talking to musicians, and today we're doing something entirely different. We have, on the hot seat sitting with us, the outgoing president of the Half Moon Bay Amateur Radio Club, Jim Hawley. And today we're going to talk about things like the radio club, ham radio, emergency preparedness, and also some facts about what the Red Cross does in case of emergencies like the recent one, the disaster with the fires we had in the Santa Rosa area. Jim, welcome.
Well, thank you, Harry. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And maybe you might start off with a little short bio of yourself.
Well, there's not a lot to tell. I can say that I've lived in Half Moon Bay approximately 15 years. I moved here from Santa Clara County, and I'm retired from a business that I had. I was an executive search consultant. I also had a little side business where I taught English as a second language. I'm married. I've got a couple of adult children. I've got four grandchildren. And originally, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, I don't know about you, but I lived in San Mateo and Belmont for a while, and then I moved over here, and the thought of going to the other side of the hill is abhorrent to me. How about you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I do sometimes miss a little bit of heat. Like it when it's in the mid-80s, upper 80s, but I've gotten used to the coast, and I love being here.
All right, Jim, let's talk a little bit about the Half Moon Bay Amateur Radio Club. And for our listeners, both of us are licensed ham operators, which is the short term for amateur radio. And let's start with ham radio in general, and then let's move it into the involvement that the radio club has with Amateur Radio Relay League and ARES, which is part of their organization as well.
Okay, well, amateur radio, I think, is a bit misnamed because the folks that do it aren't necessarily amateurs. These are folks typically with either some background or some interest in radio and radio frequency and that sort of thing. But amateur radio is a whole different side of radio communication, and it's done on frequencies that are through the FCC, but it's on equipment owned totally by individuals, private parties. It's typically used for either as a hobby. We have people that talk to Japan or China or Russia or whatever. And the other side of the hobby is emergency response. And our emergency response activity is what I'm primarily interested in, although I have some interest in the hobby aspects of it. But all over the United States, we have groups of hams, as amateur radio people are called, who join in little organizations and come together to play radio. Here in Half Moon Bay, we have the Half Moon Bay Amateur Radio Club, and we are certainly open to folks who just like to come by and see what amateur radio is about. Or we're also interested in people who might want to get a ham radio license and join, or there's a lot of people in the area that have ham radio licenses they haven't used for years. But anyway, I'd love to see you come by. Now, one thing I should mention is that there's an organization in the United States called the American Radio Relay League. It's been around since the very early 1900s, and it's essentially the professional organization for ham radio. And it's the group that keeps us coordinated, advocates for frequency activity to the federal government, and provides training and other opportunities for ham radio operators. It's an interesting hobby. It's one that anybody, regardless of age, fitness, gender, can join and have a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Half Moon Bay Amateur Radio Club and how it gets involved in disaster preparedness. And recently, we participated in a thing called DART, which is the Disaster Airlift Response Team, and it was in coordination with the Half Moon Bay Pilots Association. Can you maybe fill us in a little bit about that?
Well, you know, what's key in a disaster is communication. And what's very key in communication is the fact that you're off the web and also off the grid. So we provide our own electricity to operate our radios. I can also tell you that in an area like Half Moon Bay, where we're relatively isolated and we need help during the disaster, currently most of our help would come from the highways, trucks and cars and such. But the Pilots Association has this organization called DART, which would allow the bringing in of blood or food or people from outside the area to assist us. Would also allow us to have people transported by air off to medical facilities where they need help. And what's critical to them is communications. What they really want to know about is, can they communicate from one airport to another? And that's not necessarily possible during a disaster. You can't use a phone, or you can't use a cell phone or a landline phone. So we joined together to see if the amateur radio folks on the coast, the Half Moon Bay Radio Club, would be capable of communicating with other airports. And for this exercise, we tried an airport in South Santa Clara County and were actually successful. So it was a big win for us, a big win for DART. And now we're beginning to focus on refining that skill so that we can do it predictably and we can do it with protocols and equipment that have already been set up and identified and be very prepared for a disaster where we in the coast side are isolated from the rest of the Bay Area as well as possibly from all over the state of California.
A couple of other things come to mind. Now, the Radio Club also handles communications for other events like Dream Machines and bicycle rides. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so when we have a bicycle ride come up or we're very active at Dream Machines, there are big needs for communication. And there's a big need for us to stay practiced and to get to know each other and to be well prepared in case there's an actual disaster. So it's actually a kind of a nice handshake. The Pilots Association needs us at Dream Machines and bicycle rides. The bicycle organizers like to be able to be in touch with the stations that are providing water in the case of someone's injured or other communications that need to be made. So it's a great partnership between ourselves and various organizations that run these things, including the Half Moon Bay Marathon.
And I'll throw in my own 2 cents worth. That is, I participated in a bicycle ride with the Radio Club and also Dream Machines. And in addition to being helpful and accomplishing something, it's also a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot of fun. And the organizations typically take care of us in terms of lunch. We get a great deal of praise from them. And it is fun. It is fun. We get to know each other. We occasionally tell a joke or two over the air. And it is a lot of fun.
Next, when we talk about emergency preparedness, there are around the coast a bunch of acronyms running around, and maybe you can shed some light on some of those for us.
Well, I can. So the people in Half Moon Bay, at least the folks responsible for disaster preparation and disaster response, felt that we were somewhat isolated and we needed to be able to organize ourselves. And the first thing that came up was an organization called KEEP. KEEP is the Coastside Emergency Action Program. That was started some years ago. A lot of people participated in putting that together, but the Chamber of Commerce actually were the folks that provided the most blood, sweat, and tears to get that going. And it's been going for some time now, and it meets monthly. And what it represents are all those folks that could respond and also provide services to the Coastside in the event of a disaster. Now, organizations that are related to the same activities as KEEP is, number one, there's a county organization. It's called OES. OES is the Office of Emergency Services. It's a county organization, and one representative from OES is assigned to the Coastside. And that person does a lot of work in terms of preparation programs, having various people involved in disaster preparation coordinated, and it's quite a service. Now, coming out of OES a few years ago by the first coordinator of the OES activities on the coast side, Nick Gattuso, Nick put together an organization called CEC, which is the Coastside Emergency Corps. And that is a group of citizens that have various skills that could contribute in a disaster. The amateur radio people belong to that. The CERT organization, and CERT is the Community Emergency Response Teams, comes together. There's another organization called the Medical Reserve Corps, which brings together all the healthcare professionals. And we have other organizations affiliated with CEC as well.
Now I'm going to change a little bit. My understanding is that you were with the Red Cross in Santa Rosa after the fires up there recently. And I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about what the Red Cross does in an emergency or in a disaster situation.
Well, certainly. I'm a volunteer, as are probably 92% of people with the Red Cross, all non-paid volunteers. And just a word about the Red Cross. The Red Cross is a privately funded organization by donors. We're not part of the federal government nor supported by the federal government, except the federal government has chartered Red Cross to be a partnership organization providing services in the event of a disaster. Now, the Northern California fires are just one example of how Red Cross volunteers respond to a disaster. We get called upon by other organizations. We don't self-deploy. we were called upon by various organizations to respond. And typically, one of the first things we do is establish shelters for an organization. For instance, in Santa Rosa, I was in a shelter, and that shelter was essentially initiated by the city of Santa Rosa, and they called upon us to set up shelters. And all throughout the northern area, and I think we had something like 15 shelters at one point that were managed by and staffed by people from the Santa Rosa community, but managed by the Red Cross. So yes, I was up there for 4 days and 4 nights. And we were receiving people who had been evacuated from fire areas and people who had lost their homes, people who didn't know if they still had homes. But anyway, we were providing shelter services, which included a safe place to sleep, a safe, dry place to sleep, and included 3 meals a day, and medical services by Red Cross and other volunteers. For instance, Kaiser Foundation was up there providing medical services in the shelters. And then also volunteers were there. We had some CERT people from the Santa Rosa area. We had the Salvation Army very much involved in providing food. But it was a great example of how partners can come together to provide services in a disaster. Now, I might want to mention that our local volunteers were also called down to Texas. We were also called down to Florida to provide similar services. And with Katrina, Red Cross was there, and any other major disaster, Red Cross responds with volunteers who are on their own time, unpaid, taken to various areas in the United States, and with transportation paid, of course. It's a disaster organization.
One thing that comes to mind is I assume, like someone like me who has no training, probably would be in the way more than helpful. So let's talk a little bit about organizations like CEC, CERT, and the Red Cross. Let's talk about a little bit about the training that you have to have before you can step into these disaster situations.
That's an interesting question. Let's talk about the Red Cross first. The Red Cross has an entire group of people, and actually I'm one of them, that provides training. When we have a disaster, people come to us and say, hey, what can I do? And we'll talk to them a little bit and see what they can do. Maybe they could just be moving things around for us, maybe taking donations. But we also are able to train people on the spot. We have a myriad of courses in everything from logistics to shelter work. We train people on the spot. Now, during what we call blue sky times, which is right now, there's no big fires going on or anything. People inquire and they sign up and they join us. And we do put people through a background check, by the way. But we have training right away. Somebody can join the Red Cross, and in 30 days, they will have gotten an orientation in terms of what we do. They might have gotten training in what's called disaster response, so they can respond to a local emergency, such as a house fire. We can teach people how to be caseworkers. We have lots and lots of training. Now, on the coast, with CEC, there's training also. Now, what they like to do is take in people that have a skill. Maybe they're ham radio operators, maybe they're medical folks, maybe they have some other skill, but if they don't, the CERT organization, for instance, provides great training. The amateur radio folks, as soon as you get your license, will begin training you in ham radio. There's lots of opportunities for people without disaster-related skills to come to an organization, get trained, and contribute. And I just want to make one other comment. I made it previously, but I think it ought to be repeated, is that everybody can make a contribution in a disaster, regardless of age, regardless of disability, regardless of who you are. You're welcome to any of these organizations.
Well, one thing I do want to put in a plug here for the Half Moon Bay Amateur Radio Club. We meet on the third Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. at the Emergency Operations Center, which is right by the Sheriff's substation on Kelly Street in Half Moon Bay. And anyone is more than welcome to drop by, find out what we're about, what ham radio is about, and what we do in the community, and how anyone can get involved, like Jim says, with ham radio. With that, is there any other thoughts, pearls of wisdom that you have?
You know, all my pearls of wisdom have just been rolled out for you, but I just want to encourage people, if you're interested in making a contribution to your community, there's a lot of ways to do it. One of the ways is to consider whether or not you might want to get yourself involved in preparing other people, including yourself, how to respond to a disaster and how to be ready in the event you have a house fire or we have an earthquake or tsunami or whatever. And it's a great way to contribute. It's a way to meet some very interesting and enjoyable people, and it's a way to become a part of your community.
I don't think I could have said that any better. One of the other things that I do have to give a plug for is if you check out thecoastsidebuzz.com, website, you will find a lot of things about emergency preparedness and what you as an individual can do. Because, you know, it's not just looking out for the community. You also have to be ready to look out for yourself and your family so that you're ready in case something happens. With that, Jim, thank you for being here. And for the rest of you, check out the rest of CoastsideBuzz.com.